So imagine you're, bombing down a canyon road in a Mazda RX-8 R3.
Right.
You're really pushing it, and you dive into a sharp hairpin. You hit the brakes, and suddenly the pedal just goes straight to the floor.
Absolute mush.
Absolute mush, and panic sets in. And you know why? Why did that happen? Well, it's because you followed the factory manual.
Right, which tells you in black and white to use DOT3 brake fluid.
Right.
And if you're just commuting in stop-and-go traffic, sure, it stops the car. But today we're looking at a stack of automotive engineering sources and maintenance guides to figure out why treating DOT3 as anything more than a bare minimum is a huge mistake for this specific trim.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for today's deep dive is to figure out why upgrading to a specific fluid, the liquid moly DOT4, isn't just, flashy overkill,
Yeah, it's practically mandatory.
right? If you actually want to use the R3 the way it was built to be used. So to understand what's happening inside the brake lines, we really need to look at the physical hardware Mazda bolted onto this car, because the R3 isn't just an appearance package.
No, it's far from it. The R3 is essentially a track-ready factory build. You've got stiffer Bilstein shocks, 19-inch wheels, and the big one is the massive rotors. The R3 runs 323-millimeter rotors up front and 302 in the rear, which, for context, a standard RX-8 is running roughly 290-millimeter rotors in the front.
Okay, so that sounds great on a spec sheet, but what does that actually mean for the fluid, like in the real world?
It means heat, like a lot of it.
Yeah.
Bigger rotors mean a larger swept area, so there's more surface area for the brake pads to clamp down on and create friction. And that friction generates immense thermal loads.
So that heat doesn't just vanish.
Right, exactly. It doesn't vanish into thin air. It transfers directly through the brake pads into the metal caliper pistons and straight into your brake fluid.
So the baseline DOT3 fluid is essentially taking a thermal beating it was never even designed for. It's kind of like wearing cheap running shoes for a marathon.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Like, technically you're allowed to do it, but the margin between fine and fading is just dangerously thin. The DOT3 is going to hit its boiling point fast and flash into steam.
Right. And since you can compress steam, but you can't compress liquid,
Right.
that's exactly why your pedal goes mushy.
Right. But wait, if I look at the chemical makeup, DOT4 and DOT3 are both glycol-based fluids,
There
right?
they are.
And they are both hygroscopic, meaning they pull moisture out of the ambient air as they age.
Yes.
So if DOT4 and DOT3 are both glycol-based and absorb moisture, is it really worth the upgrade for a daily driver? I mean, why is liquid moly DOT4 actually any better at handling that heat if it's absorbing water, just like the DOT3?
What's fascinating here is the specific chemistry. Yes, they both absorb water, and when water gets into brake fluid, it drastically lowers the boiling point.
Right.
But Liqui-Moly's DOT4 formula uses these specific chemical additives called scavengers.
Scavengers. What are they actually doing at a molecular level?
So instead of just letting the water molecules float around freely where they can easily heat up and turn into vapor, these chemical scavengers actively bind to the water molecules. They lock them up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they prevent them from grouping together and flashing into steam when the caliper gets red hot.
Okay, that makes complete sense. You're chemically trapping the water so it can't vaporize.
Precisely. It chemically protects the boiling point as the fluid ages.
Yeah.
And if you're doing heavy track days, Liqui-Moly makes a race DOT4 version.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because of an even more aggressive chemical package, it boasts a wet boiling point of 195 degrees Celsius,
Wow.
or 383 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's a massive safety cushion.
It really is.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. For anyone actually trying to put this in their car, the source guide is absolutely militant about doing a full system flush.
Oh, absolutely.
But if DOT3 and DOT4 are both glycol-based and they don't chemically react negatively to each other, why can't I just turkey baster the reservoir, top it off with a DOT4, and call it a day if I'm in a hurry?
Because you're diluting those scavengers we just talked about.
I see.
Yeah, if you mix standard DOT3 with the Liqui-Moly DOT4,
Yeah.
you instantly compromise that advanced chemical package.
Gotcha.
It will only hit its optimal full annual service life when it's used entirely on its own. And a crucial warning here.
Okay.
Never ever confuse it with DOT5.
Right. DOT5 is the enemy here.
Exactly, because DOT5 is silicone-based. Glycol and silicone will not mix, and combining them will just completely ruin your entire braking system.
Good to know. So regarding that full flush on the R3, I assumed I could just bleed it starting at the master cylinder under the hood, like almost every other car.
Right, standard procedure.
But the guide specifically warns that I can't. Why is that?
Because of this bizarre mechanical quirk that's unique to the R3 trim.
Okay.
Unlike standard RX-8s, the R3's master cylinder has absolutely no bleed nipple.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it just isn't there. So you have to start bleeding at the caliper farthest away from the master cylinder.
Which is the rear passenger side.
Right, and then work your way around the car.
Which means pushing a lot of fluid through the lines to get the old stuff out.
Exactly. You'll need at least one full 500 milliliter bottle of the liquid moly to properly flush the entire system.
Just to get the full benefit.
Yeah.
So tying this all together, it really recontextualizes what a factory specification actually is. I mean, the manual's DOT-3 recommendation isn't the ideal standard.
No, not at all.
It's just the lowest common denominator that guarantees the car safely drives off the dealer lot.
Right, it's a floor, not a ceiling.
Yeah.
When you look at the physical reality of how a machine is engineered and the heat it actually generates,
yeah,
you realize those minimum specs leave a dangerously thin margin for error.
It makes you look at the whole car differently. And honestly, it leaves me with this thought. If automotive engineers are forced to specify basic fluids that deliberately bottleneck the physical capabilities of high-performance hardware, you have to wonder what other factory standard specs or minimum requirements in our everyday lives are actually just bare minimums waiting for a necessary upgrade.
Oh, that is a great point.
Right. It's something to think about the next time you blindly trust the manual.